Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the Swamp. We are once again taking an in-depth look at another elusive creature that many of you may not have heard before. This documentary is another one I have spent a lot of time on. With the help of my good friend, T.W. Grimm, I was able to research and share some truly interesting information on the terrifying monster of the Antarctic, the Ninjin. In the early 2000s, a post made on a Japanese online message board gave birth to a new legend, an elusive marine behemoth known as the Ninjin, which translates to human being in English. The Ninjin is an aquatic creature, a seafaring Goliath that strongly resembles a strange hybrid of a human and a whale, with maybe just a dash of a giant manta ray in the mix. It has been claimed that Ninjin can measure 20 to 30 meters in length, which is roughly 65 to 100 feet of gigantic, ghostly white sea monster. To put this into perspective, 30 meters is the length of a particularly large blue whale, a marine mammal known to be the largest animal to ever have existed on the face of our fair planet. According to eyewitness accounts, Ninjin are equipped with two long, flat appendages at its sides, a pair of monstrous pectoral fins which bear an eerie resemblance to human arms. The caudal fin at the rear of the creature appears to actually be two separate structures, which are positioned on either side of a short tail. The Ninjin's head is a rudimentary circular structure that merges directly with its trunk. Like a fish or a ray, there is no distinct neck or shoulder separating the head from the body. Its facial features are said to be very simplistic, consisting of only two large black eyes and a small slit for a mouth. The story of the Ninjin began with a post on 2Channel, a Japanese message board that enjoyed a large degree of popularity throughout the 2000s. The anonymous poster claimed to be an employee of a government-subsidized whale research vessel. The post detailed a fantastic encounter with an enormous creature in the waters of the Antarctic. According to the original poster, the crew of the vessel believed the unidentified object floating in the sea in front of them was actually a foreign submarine. As the ship drew closer to the object, the crew realized that the object was a living creature. The behemoth submerged itself when the research vessel drew too close for comfort, disappearing into the frigid waters without a trace. The original thread received an enormous amount of attention, which was amplified in 2007 by an article published in MU Magazine, a Japanese publication devoted to cryptids and paranormal encounters. The article was titled, "Antarctic Humans," and it speculated on the possibility of giant, sea-dwelling humanoids inhabiting the southern seas. The author included a Google Earth screenshot of what appears to be a Ninjin in the South Atlantic Ocean, not far from the coast of Namibia. The lore of the Ninjin quickly expanded to include a government-implemented cover-up. In this scenario, the powers that be are actively attempting to suppress any information regarding the existence of the Ninjin, owing to the possibility that Ninjin may contain or secrete a chemical compound that is either medicinal or highly toxic in nature. Some people have gone as far as to make a loose connection between the Ninjin and the legend of mermaids, although this is something of a stretch considering the size and location disparities between the two mythological creatures. Ninjin sightings occur mostly at night, making them difficult to photograph. Much of the photographic evidence has proven to be fairly uncompelling, adding fuel to the speculation that most of these pictures show nothing more than, maybe a few humps of floating sea ice. As per usual, artistic renditions of the Ninjin have been passed off by sensationalist media sources as factual representations of real eyewitness accounts, which only serves to further muddy the waters of an already dubious subject matter. The details of the original sightings have been buried beneath increasingly melodramatic claims of conspiracies, menacing visits from men in black, and clandestine destruction of evidence that might vindicate otherwise questionable eyewitness accounts. However, even if the existence of such a creature may be improbable, one has to wonder if there may be more to this story than meets the eye. Let's go back to the late Miocene, just a quick jump of 6 million years, give or take a million, and we'll have a look at a collection of interesting characters known as the genus Thalassuchnus. This was a group of aquatic ground sloths who were unique to the late Miocene and subsequent Pliocene epoch. Over the space of 4 or 5 million years, drought conditions force Thalassuchnus to evolve from being a near-shore land dweller to a marine hybrid that spent most of its time in the ocean. It developed dense, heavy bones in its limbs to fight against buoyancy, an invaluable trait for a bottom grazer that foraged in a similar manner to a manatee. Our former ground sloth gradually became larger in its new habitat, with some of the bigger specimens growing to lengths of 10 or 11 feet. Thalassuchnus is a good example of a terrestrial life form that packed its bags and moved back to the oceans from whence it came, evolving new physical adaptations to adjust to life in the old neighborhood. We'll leave the Miocene now and go back much, much further in time, and all the way back to the late Triassic period, a little over 200 million years ago. This was a tumultuous age in the history of our planet. The great supercontinent Pangaea was breaking apart, causing rampant volcanic eruptions that belched out a tremendous amount of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Global temperatures shot up dramatically, resulting in a massive extinction event that wiped out almost three-quarters of all life forms on Earth. By the time the dust had settled, and life had begun to thrive once again, a wide variety of new creatures were stomping around on land and swimming around in the oceans, including a new genus of reptiles called Plesiosaurus. They swarm the seas with the aid of fins and are often characterized by their short tail, long neck, and comparatively small head. The Plesiosaurs have origins in an earlier group of reptiles who, like the aquatic ground sloths of the distant future, were forced by a disturbance in their environment to head back to the ocean and carve a new niche for themselves. These reptiles split off into two distinct groups, one that stayed and adapted for terrestrial travel by retaining the use of functional elbows and knee joints, and those whose legs underwent the long metamorphosis into fins. Over the span of several millions of years, the latter reptile eventually evolved to be warm-blooded and viparous, giving birth to live young instead of laying eggs. As the Triassic gave way to the Jurassic, these warm-blooded marvels of adaptation evolved even further, producing more genetically refined versions of themselves that came known as the Plesiosaurs. Plesiosaurs jettisoned the concept of legs entirely. They adapt to sea life with shorter tails and fins capable of rapid underwater propulsion. Some species possessed very long necks, like their ancestors, while others developed shorter necks, possibly to fill a different niche in the local hierarchy of predator and prey. The Plesiosaurs grew in size until they were almost whale-like in proportion, with some of the larger specimens topping 15 meters or more in length. They became one of the dominant marine predators of the Jurassic and remained so until their extinction in the late Cretaceous. This was brought on by the KT extinction, a worldwide ecological disaster suspected to have been caused by a cataclysmic collision with a meteor. The KT extinction was the death knell for the great lizards who'd once ruled the planet, paving the way for the explosion of mammalian megafauna that filled the void left by the departure of the dinosaurs. Keeping this all in mind, let's fast forward all the way to the present day, and we'll take another look at this enigmatic sea monster of ours. In the Ningen, we have a bizarre-looking monstrosity with a very eccentric combination of physical traits. It seems so unlikely that such a mishap of nature could exist. But is that really a fair assessment? I think there are a few notable points that should be taken into consideration before we pass any judgment. The Ningen shares a habitat with the aforementioned blue whale, another massive, mammalian ocean dweller that can be found in the waters surrounding the continent of Antarctica. The blue whale is a natural wonder. This immersed beast can weigh a staggering 180 tons or more, but it's still capable of swimming at the brisk pace of 30 miles per hour. The blue whale typically dwells relatively close to the surface, but it can dive down to depths of over 1,600 feet. When surfacing to breathe, a blue whale will blast a column of water almost 40 feet into the air. Clearly, there are very few limits on the potential for size and power when considering animals who live in the ocean. Despite their overwhelming physical superiority, the blue whale is hunted nearly to extinction by humankind. The whale's downfall was its need to come up to the surface to breathe, rendering it vulnerable to our spears. If blue whales had evolved as bottom dwellers that breathe with the aid of gills, we may never have discovered their existence until recent times. Like the giant squid, the blue whale would have remained scorned as an outlandish myth until the invention of sonar and deep diving submersibles proved otherwise. Could this be the case with the Ningen? Dwelling in the Antarctic Ocean, their remote habitat may have kept them hidden from humanity's prying eyes. If they spend the majority of their time combing the ocean depths for sustenance, as Thylacocnus did in the Miocene epoch, it might be possible that no one had ever observed a Ningen simply because there was never anyone around to bear witness, as one of these ghostly giants rose to the surface. As most Ningen sightings seem to take place after sunset, the chances of someone accidentally catching a glimpse of this aquatic enigma becomes even lower, especially if a genuine sighting might be easy to explain away as an unusual-looking formation of sea ice. Like the plesiosaurs of the distant past, Ningen propel themselves through the water with the aid of large fins and a short tail. The longer fins at the creature's sides are said to strongly resemble human arms, with each one ending in a suggestion of multiple digits. This strange feature has provoked speculation what the Ningen may actually walk around on dry land using the arm-like appendages at its sides as forelegs. This is admittedly a compelling image, but owing to the enormous weight of such a large animal, this feat of terrestrial locomotion would be nearly impossible. A creature of that size would struggle to support its own bulk outside of the buoyancy of the ocean habitat. The largest of the land-dwelling dinosaurs were hardly even half the weight of a blue whale, and probably for a good reason. Gravity's unforgiving embrace makes locomotion rather difficult for those of us who happen to be twice the size of an average city bus. If the Ningen are basically the same length and mass and weight as a blue whale, they'd likely crumple beneath the pressure of their own body weight outside of the water. If the Ningen is more than just a modern cryptid legend, then it must have a traceable line of ancestors. Like the plesiosaurs and Thylacocnus, the Ningen may have been a land dweller that gradually adapted to a marine habitat over a period of millions of years. These physical and physiological adaptations certainly don't happen overnight. Countless generations must have lived and died in a complex Darwinian struggle between members of their own species, their changing environment, their predators, and the other species which are competing to fill the same niche in the ecosystem. It's a plodding biological arms race where the successful candidate inherits a grim struggle to survive in a habitat that has received a radical facelift due to a climate change, volcanic activity, a meteor strike, or any number of ecological disasters that would compel an organism to either adapt or die out entirely. Thalassocnus, for example, was forced into the water by the gradual desertification of its environment, as the landscape became increasingly arid and inhospitable. Our intrepid ground sloth spent more and more time grazing in the newly emergent underwater kelp forest. Earlier versions of the marine sloth were still covered in a coat of shaggy hair, as they were merely waders who never ventured into deeper waters. In contrast, the marine sloths of the Pliocene were nearly hairless, more streamlined in shape and covered by a layer of insulting blubber, in the manner of a manatee or a walrus. As I mentioned earlier, plesiosaurs also traded functioning legs for the joys of an aquatic environment. Their predecessors came from the same branch of the tree of life that brought us birds, crocodiles, and dinosaurs. They enjoyed a very long and successful run on planet Earth, first appearing in the late Triassic and surviving right up until the extinction event that happened at the end of the Cretaceous period. Their physical growth spurt is indicative of this prosperity. They were successful hunters with a steady food supply. The Ningen could have also originated as more of a diminutive creature that, upon finding itself a comfortable nook in the food chain of the primitive oceans, proceeded to evolve to attain a staggering physical size, growing to be immense in length and stature, as frequently proven to be an effective defensive measure against predators. From the enormous sauropods of the Jurassic to the elephants and hippopotami who roam the earth today, animals have often combated their role as prey by becoming far too large for their predators to hunt in a safe and controlled manner. When a beast measures 100 feet in length, a casual flick of the tail could spell instant doom for much smaller aggressors. We have to consider the possibility that the Ningen does not have to originate from a branch of our planet's evolutionary tree. In other words, that it may have come from somewhere else. Certainly, the Antarctic has long been considered a place of interest for the UFO community, going all the way back to Admiral Byrd and his supposed battle with an alien force during Operation High Jump, a top-secret U.S. military expedition that was carried out in the late 1940s. If the Ningen really is extraterrestrial in origin, it would create more questions than answers, though. Why did it abandon its former home planet? And how did it travel to ours? Is the Ningen intelligent? And if so, why did it choose to turn its back on its advanced technology and live as a wild animal in the icy waters of the Antarctic? And if the Ningen isn't an intelligent being, then who brought it here and why? It has been speculated that there is a concentrated effort taking place to keep the discovery of the Ningen a secret. These conspiracy theorists believe the elusive cryptid produces either a powerful toxin that could be weaponized or a benign chemical that could be refined into a potent medicine. If either scenario were true, there is little doubt that every superpower in the world would be competing to be the first to harvest the chemical for their own gain. Ningen would become extinct in short order, another species falling victim to its value as a commodity. While this speculative addition to Ningen mythology certainly isn't outside of the realm of possibility, the probability of an animal the size of a whale evolving to become venomous is very unlikely, mostly due to the fact that the vast majority of living creatures who produce venoms and toxins are relatively small in stature. Developing a venom as a weapon of defense is biologically expensive. A lot of energy must be put into manufacturing the venom, not to mention the expenditure involved in creating a method to inject the venom, and even more energy that must be directed into protecting the organism from injuring itself with its own biological weapon. It would be extremely taxing on an organism's resources to become both very large and very venomous. The scenario in which the Ningen produces some kind of miracle cure for human ailments also seems highly suspect. While the presence of defensive venom would be easy to detect by observing the ninjin's interactions with its enemies and prey, medicinal properties could only be discovered by experimenting with a fresh specimen. The only way to obtain a fresh specimen would be to capture a live ninjin, a feat that would be very difficult at best and virtually impossible at worst. How does one capture an animal that is so rare, so secluded and elusive, that no one in the history of seafaring exploration has ever observed one of these immense monstrosities until the 21st century? Not to mention the logistics of creating a trap that might contain such a beast, with the sheer number of people who would be needed to engineer, manufacture, place, and maintain this hypothetical trap, it's hard to believe that any government or agency would be able to keep this project a secret for very long. One last point of contention is the lack of physical evidence. No one has ever discovered any remains that might be attributed to the ninjin, nor do they exist in the known fossil record, which at this point has become a very expensive, extensive, and well-cataloged map of all things that have ever existed on this planet. There are only some very thin, photographic evidence floating around that might support the bold claims made by an anonymous poster on an internet message board. Having said that, it must be acknowledged that the oceans are very vast, very deep, and they remain very, largely unexplored. New species are discovered in the depths of the sea on a fairly regular basis. Only time will tell if the new evidence will ever be brought to light. Until that happens, we can only speculate and wonder about the majestic Goliath, known as the Ninjin, another missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle that is the history of our planet. Thank you for joining us for another installment of this documentary series, an investigative and speculative look at cryptic creatures from around the world. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you again. If you enjoyed this, please be sure to show some love to my friend T.W. Grimm by checking out his link in the description down below. He does some really good and really creepy horror-themed writings. If you enjoyed this video, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes we get on these videos, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. If you have a cryptid creature you would like to suggest for a future documentary, be sure to comment it down below. I would love to see your suggestions. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.